Well, I was going to say, don't forget to pray for our pastor, but he's here. So we still need to pray for him, but not for safe travels. Reminder, he'll be back Sunday morning to continue with James 3. So we'll get the professionals, the A team, in here Sunday morning. Today and tomorrow, you're stuck with the B team. So before we start, let's spend a few moments in silent prayer using the rebound technique. If you need it, if not, concentrate, and we'll open in a word of prayer. Before we start, we pause and thank you for this opportunity to gather together tonight. We thank you for the opportunity to study your word, and we pray that everything that is said and taught here tonight would bring honor and glory to you. And we just lift these prayers in the name of our only Savior, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. What an honor and privilege it is to stand here again and tell about Philippi Freedom Ministries. I'm humbled because our pastor has taught us so much doctrine from this pulpit for so many years. And he's faithfully done that for, I think, 35 years now. It's just amazing. I'm going to start tonight with an overview of our ministry and the doors our Lord has opened for us this past year. I want to first remind you, we don't do anything to get people out. That's not our job. I'm not interested in that. We don't help them get parole. They get some certificates, which we'll talk about when they complete a course. But if that helps them get out on parole, that's between them and the Lord. It's got nothing to do with me. If they complete the course and they can pass with 90% or better, I'm glad I can give them a certificate, especially for those who have now completed. We have some that have completed 57 books. That's a lot of theology. If you can do that, and we just had one recently on a one day at a time where there's 300 questions, got a perfect score. That's the first time that that's ever happened, and I won't mention their names, but we have people in this congregation who's done book 21, and they did not get 300 right, I guarantee you. We present the gospel message of faith alone and Christ alone, and then we get them started under a qualified pastor learning Bible doctrine. That's what we do. Thank you, Joe, for all your support, and I'd like to thank the Board of Deacons of Grace Doctrine Church and the board of Joe Griffin Media Ministries for all of your support and help. I couldn't do this by myself, and I owe a big thank you to my wife, who really keeps the home front down. If it wasn't for that, I couldn't do what I do. And I want to thank everybody who helps. I cannot tell you the number of people that help with everything that we have to do. We have graders. We have graders in California and Kentucky and Florida and Georgia and Texas. Alabama, we have people all over grading for us. And if that job is so important that if you did not grade, we could not continue sending out courses. When you have 1,400 inmates plus sending courses back, you can't do that without people grading those tests. You just can't manage it by yourself. We have those that do our newsletter, those who make copies for us. And that's a lot of copies. You cannot imagine the number of copies we go through when you've got the study guides that have to be copied. You have certificates that have to be printed. You also have the notes that have to be printed. So that's a lot of copying. We send out 30 pages a month to over 400 inmates every month. That's a lot of copies just right there. You send out, not everybody completes a course every month. Even though you have 14, I think the actual number is like 1,460 inmates doing the course, you don't send out that many every month because some of these books takes longer than a month to get done. But you have obviously around 1,900 to 1,000 going out every month. Some of those, like one day at a time, is 22 pages just to send that book out. Then you have the integrity of God and Christian suffering, Christian integrity, divine outline of history, dispensations, of course, there, angelic conflict. Those are all big books. It takes a lot to get all that out to them. We're the post office best customer. Finally, those who pray for the ministry and for me, please don't stop. We can't do it without your prayer warriors out there who pray for us. I'm not a one-man show. I just named all the positions where we have people doing things. It's just amazing the support that we get. And please keep praying for us. The first slide is the key items in the last 12 months. Some of these are not that big of a deal to you, but they're big projects. It's something that has taken some time. We developed a course for Whirlwind and Life's Toughest Years. Those were the newest books. We already had Divine Decree done, and Rick had a book, Life's Toughest Years. So in order to get as many books out there, even though Life's Toughest Years was written toward teenagers, it's a book that people who are in prison that have not been to school, it's an opportunity for them to have a basic, another basic book to help lay the groundwork. So we develop courses for those. We're updating all of our courses. Why are we doing that? Well, we have enough people doing them now, even though there's no copy machines in prison. For a couple stamps, you can get somebody to write the answer down, and then they can sell those and make a living off the stamps they can get by selling the answers. So I'm aware that that probably happens by now, so we're outsmarting them. On September 1st, we started launching the new test. And while we were redoing them, we thought, why not correct the grammar, correct the spelling, because I'm not the brightest bulb in the cabinet, and let's add more questions and make them even harder. On all the basics, they were only 50 questions. Well, now they're like 60 questions, and all the order's been reversed. So instead of just going through the book and flipping the pages to find the answers, now the first question may be in the back of the book and in the middle of the book, and everything's been mixed up for them. We're through the first 15 books of the courses. You say, well, you got to get them all done. That's at least 20 months before they'll get through 15 books. So we've got time, but we're through 15. So we're rewriting and updating all the courses. And I think the next one actually says we have a new order for the books. When I put these books together, I did it as I had time. So if I didn't have a lot of time, I'd sit in my hotel room and do giving. Well, guess what the next book was after one day at a time? Giving. So I didn't have time for the next one. Guess what they got? Tongues. And we did get it up to 100 questions back then. Now it's going to be almost 200 questions. Then when I had more time, we did Christian suffering, integrity of God. So the order's all out of play, out of the way it should be. With the new order and the new exams, everything's been switched up, so that we have a true set of basic books. We are going to do Who Loves You first. We're not changing that. But we're going to put Divine Pardon second. Then we're going to do the four basic books. God Exists, Safe to Die, Know What God Thinks, and Does He Hear My Prayers? Then from there, we'll go to Understanding Your Soul, Practicing Your Christianity, Life's Toughest Years, and Crash Course in Basic Christianity by Rick Hughes. Then from there, we go to the Kernel's Basics, just the way as enlisted in the book. Plan of God, Trinity, Slave Market of Sin, Barrier, Isolation of Sin, Faith Rest Life. Let's see, from there it's Mental Attitude Dynamics, Heathenism, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then they'll do as a review one day at a time, which we're increasing to 350 questions. Now that somebody aced it and they're getting a handle on it, now we're going to make that tougher. And then from there, we'll do angelic conflict and integrity of God and the tougher ones. And then we'll throw in some breaks in the middle of there, like dying grace or, you know, something like that to give them a break mentally before they move on to the next one. So all that launched on September 1st, the first 15 course studies and the new order. There's going to be a lot of surprise people this month as those new tests show up. So they forget, I understand what they're doing, and we're going to stay right on top of it. We developed a Philippi Freedom Ministry prayer list. We get a lot of requests from inmates and families who want to be prayed for. When they give us permission, we put them on the list. We put them out there on the table about once every 3 or 4 months. I'm getting ready to send it to Dana again so we can get them out there. We just updated them again. We did the Riding with Grace Horse Camp. It was probably the best camp ever. We gave the gospel on Saturday. On Sunday, I redid the gospel to them. Then I introduced Rebound to them. And then when the parents got there for the horse show, I took the microphone and or Deb gave it to me, and we let the parents know exactly what we taught the children so there'd be no confusion, and they had a chance to hear the gospel themselves. Dan and Deb did an amazing job pulling this together, and Sandra and Kinsey are tireless workers. It's just amazing. And Kenzie didn't feel well, and it's still, she worked both days. It was amazing. We have a new website launched. It's still got some work to be done on it, but I talked to Paul about that, and he goes, Gary, go to the same people the church went to. So he went with me, and we went, had a nice appointment with them. So the same people who are managing Grace Doctrine Church, Joe Griffin Media Ministries website, is managing Philippi Freedom Ministries website. They've developed a whole new website. We got letters out there. We're putting the courses on there for Joe's books. We're not putting course numbers by them, but we're just putting them out there along with the courses. In case any family member goes out there and want to download it, they can do it on our website. We got some pictures out there, letters from inmates, and a way to contact us. And that's how inmates' families write us to get books or information sent to the inmate. We've got a new logo developed. You'll see that in a second. And that wasn't a big deal, but it was fun doing it. We created an information card. There's a lady at Baraka, actually, who put this card together, taking our information. I get a lot of requests from chaplains, our wardens, hey, send me your information. Tell me what you do. Tell me what your programs are. It's pretty simple. It's a two-sided card, and it fits right in an envelope. We just send it out to them when they request it now. Off it goes. And when I was in Gatlinburg, she showed up with a box and said, here, everything was done and printed and ready to go. So it's pretty interesting to see how grace and how God provides. Just all you got to do is let them know what we want to do, and they take it from there. I knew something was going to go wrong tonight. Okay, we got new letterhead. That's not a big deal. There's our new logo. That's what it looks like. I wish I could take credit. There's the prayer list. Okay, we still send out Joe's notes. We have about 400 inmates. That's dropped as people have been released from prison or they start taking the courses and they really get involved in those. They switch to that. Or when we set up a tape group, then what they do is immediately start to that study. They want to have notes or whatever we have available for that study. So the numbers have come down, but we're still doing 400 a month in notes. Inmate notes. We work very, very closely with the wardens, the administrative staffs. We're well liked by them because we follow the rules. This letter is from a chaplain John Schoenberger. And about 9 or 10 years ago, we worked with him in Adams County Correctional in Adams County, Mississippi. And he really loved what we did. He loved the doctrine and the theology. All of a sudden, one day after 5 or 6 years, I didn't hear from him anymore. I called. He was gone. Just wanted to check on him. Earlier this year, I got a phone call, and he said, Brother Watson, it's John, Chaplain John. And guess what? I'm at the largest prison in Tennessee, 2,500 inmates, and we need everything you have as soon as possible. We want to get started. We just want to duplicate what we did in Adams County Correctional. By the way, when can you come here and get trained? We're ready to rock and roll. So here's how well it went. Hello, Brother Watson. Greetings from Tennessee's largest prisons. We are almost out all of the resources you sent me. We need a fresh batch. We love this material. We have right at 52 inmates there who are studying with us, doing the course, and in our MP3 basic group. So that's all started since the beginning of the year. He has a poster he put up in the off and outside the chapel telling people who to contact, how to contact us, and that this is the preferred ministry that he wants these inmates to work with. And here's God's grace. People say, how do you get this information? I'm going to show you letters like I always do from inmates. But just today, here's a letter. I'm interested in your Bible study. Jason Nichols, Wrightsville, Arkansas. I have no idea how we ended up in Wrightsville, Arkansas. My name is Rolando Borges. I'm very interested in your Bible studies and would like to enroll ASAP. There's his information. Then I received a phone call last Friday, and it was from a lady. I didn't know the number, and I normally don't answer them because I figure it's a scam call or a telemarketer. And she said, I answered this one because I recognized the area code as being from Tennessee, Knoxville, Tennessee, actually. And she said, who am I talking with? And I told her, and she goes, now, is this Felipe Ministries? And I said, yes. And she said, well, my son is incarcerated in Sevierville, Tennessee. And I tried to send him some material, and they returned it, Christian material. So I called them and said, how do I get my son Christian material? He now has an interest now that he's in jail, and I want to get that information to him right away. And they said, if you want to have any Christian material sent here, here's the phone number, and this is who you need to call. They said they're the only ministry that we recognize and will let information come into this facility. It had nothing to do with me. Then today I get a letter, and it's a lady who wrote to us, a young lady. She's now in prison, but she sent it to her mother. The mother called this prison, which happens to be in Texas, Anson, A-N-S-O-N, Texas. And this is what the mother wrote. I'm Lisa's mom. I love my girl. We don't have a lot of money, but my husband and I love her dearly. Her sons are now in our custody, age 11 and 7. My husband is retired military, and she's looking to be locked up for 25 years for selling methamphetamines. She is a good mom. The jail said you were the ministry we needed to contact to get her some Bible study material. Please let me know the cost to do it. Well, I wrote her a letter today and said there is no cost. We'll get this out later in the week, and by next week she'll have the information. It showed up just like that. So that's how the doors are open, and that's how we get in, and these jailers are not afraid to work with us and to help us by referring people. This photograph is the warden and the sheriff, actually, and that's his chief jailer there with me. This is a letter from a inmate when he was released. He lives in Houston. He's working. He's trying to get to St. Louis as soon as the probation officer will let him so he can get some face-to-face teaching. And he thanks Philippi Ministries and Joe, and he's really doing very, very well. This is actually from his sister. She goes to Baraka now, and her mother also goes to Baraka. So that's a letter from them. We get so many of these, I could put 100 up here at any given time. I also read through the bull, I'll call it, because I know some people just want something, but these are from folks that don't want anything. Last year, I got contacted from Baraka and Houston and said, we've got a guy who's positive the doctrine. He's a judge. He wants to have someone come out there. He has 6 jails in his circuit. He's a circuit court judge. Can you go? So I contacted him. I went out there. It was a long week hitting all these facilities, giving the gospel. It was like 2,800 inmates total that we gave the gospel to that week. The positive volition was beyond anything I thought was going to happen. We had over 100 inmates just in the first week after I left sign up for the correspondence course. But what happened besides that was even more interesting to me. We had family members calling saying, I want to do the course with my daughter. Not anybody had it wanted to do it with their sons, but there was everybody wanting to do it with their daughters who were locked up for drugs. They were all there for drugs. So we start sending these to these families. And then I had a guy call and told me that he really wanted to listen, but he didn't have any way to listen. So I said, well, let me look into it. Again, you got to remember people are in jail. These are parents of those. You got to double check everything. So I went on Google Earth, checked out the house and said, holy cow, I bet he can't afford this. So I called him back and said, how about if I send you a portable DVD player? And I sent it to him along with some headsets. our MP3 player and have it sent to him from Amazon. And now he's been listening on MP3s because he doesn't have a computer to be able to listen live. It was amazing response. We set up tape groups there, and we have a lady who runs a tape group for Breck or live streaming, whatever they do there. Her name is Melody, and she goes in and sets up the tape, sits there and listens to them with the young ladies, and she does that 4 days a week. It's amazing how she, and she's in her mid-70s, and she packs up, goes in. When they're out of books, I send them to her. She hauls them in, and we have a great relationship with the jails out there. And this is something that's really neat, I think. There was some ladies at, I'll call it a transition home, that Judge Sloan actually set up. And Judge Sloan told me that he was in court, and he checks on these ladies all the time. Once a month they have to come to court. They're in the transition home. And he told me there was a lady there and who was in court, and he asked her how she was doing, and she was telling him, and she was all excited. He said, very animated. He said, what's going on with you? He said, she goes, well, there's a guy coming to see me who taught me all about rebound. He said, well, because they heard the information, now he could ask her. He said, what's rebound? Trying to see if she was scamming him. And so she knew the verses and gave him all the information, and he goes, well, that's great. When's he coming? She said, well, he's coming next week, and he's coming to see me. And Judge Sloan goes, well, maybe he's coming to see everybody. And she said, no, he's coming to see just me. And tomorrow I think I'll put her picture up, but I got my picture taken with her. But they wanted it from the transition home to get some face-to-face teaching. So I talked to Judge Sloan and the warden or the carekeeper over whatever you call it at the transition home. And they said, if you can get them from here to Gatlinburg and back with no stops, if you can keep this address secret, we'll let them all go. So I was at Cindy and Brett Turner's house, and I dialed my phone, and I found the car service. I talked to them on the phone, got the owner to call me back and explain to him what I needed. He goes, we'll take care of it. He goes, but we need a credit card, we need the information, and we'll set it up right now. And we'll wait for them. So I got it all set up. The ladies, Melody and a couple other ladies, were waiting for them when they got there. They delivered them to the Bible conference. I had notebooks for them and pens. They had hour and a half of Bible class on Wednesday night, hour and a half of Bible class on Thursday night, face-to-face, and went right back. We had no issues, and it was absolutely amazing, God's provision to let that happen for those ladies. They were incredibly excited. So that was pretty neat. Judge Sloan, this letter, he wrote it for us. I can't go into details at the current time while he wrote why he wrote it, but it's pretty exciting and pretty awesome what's going on. And at some point, there'll be something that ties in with this that is absolutely unbelievable, the doors the Lord's opening. So he wrote this letter on our behalf, and we sent it in, and we'll just see what happens from there. That's Judge Sloan, and that's me looking goofy next to him. He set up a breakfast with all the sheriffs in town, and I had a chance to present Bible doctrine to them. They were all believers, Judge Sloan told me. And when I was done, there's one sheriff right here, and I'll point it out. I don't know how I can point it out, but he's the one with the big hat. Oh, here we go. We got the white thing. All right, good. This guy right there. He leads the tape group at his jail. So they opened the doors to us. Anytime we want to go, we can go. But I hate jails, but that's God's sense of humor. More notes from inmates just saying how much they love our program. Thankful to get what we have. This guy's getting out and wants to continue. We get a lot of those. And I don't throw them under the bus. Just because they're out, I don't say, get to church, here's our website, have a nice day. That's not going to work. They don't have the funds. They don't have a job. The last thing you want to do is just bail out on them. Everybody bails out on them. I don't. You can continue to get the courses and the notes. I work with them as they get a job and get a computer. And then I hook them up to be able to listen to us. Dana gets me MP3s. I get those out to them. I've even, not me personally, but the ministry buys them a little portable DVD or MP3 player so they can do it. And we keep these guys going, which is other prison ministries don't do that. They get out and, well, they don't teach them anything anyway. We'll get to that later, but that's beside the point. We make it available to them and allow them to get on their feet before we say, listen, it's time to be under a qualified pastor. We've got to figure out how you can start listening live, or I'll just keep sending you MP3s. But you can't do the courses forever. You need to be under a pastor. This is another letter there. This one I like because it says, what a great study. Obviously, you just completed a course. See if you can guess which one it is. I can really identify with the way he describes how sin tore apart David's life. Reading those pages was like reading a story about how I lived for so many years. God's forgiveness has been the most life-changing experience I have had. I am no longer on the verge of insanity due to guilt and anxiety, and we'll get to that tonight. In prison, that's how they control you. There's a whole lot of guilt going on. I'm looking forward to study number 12, which is isolation of sin. So this was rebound number 11. Thank you for all you do, and God bless you. So that's a young man that's been studying with us in about 14 months now. This is what the new test looked like. New logo. It's not all the answers. There's only 12 there, but it's much longer in real life. That's what the new test looked like, and that's test number one. Who loves you? Okay. Everybody likes to see this slide every time. The Lord continues to open doors. This is over 360 prisons across the United States. As I said before, we're the Postal Service's biggest customer, I think. We have 1,460, something like that, roughly inmates studying the courses with us. Some of those get the notes, some of them don't. Of those 400, some of those don't do the course, some of them do the course and the notes. We have some that do MP3, the notes, and the course. They're really hitting it hard. Some that just do the MP3s, and we'll get to those. You guys probably wonder, how does he know who goes back and who doesn't? Well, when we started this thing, I always thought the Lord would shut the door. I told you that before, that this would just all go away one day. So I just kept people when they got out. I'd transfer their name and number for the notes. It wasn't very tedious. And I kept them anticipating them going back. I just assumed they would all go back. And when they wrote us or got in touch with us, I needed to know where they left off. So I just started keeping track of them. I kept their name, their Department of Correction number, the facility they were at, and where they left off with the notes, and then over time where they left off at a tape group or where they left off with the study courses now. That way we had them available because 63% go back in 3 years or less. They write us, how in the world can, they're going to say to me, I know these guys, well, just start me where I left off. Where was that? No one have any clue. So I thought I'll just keep track of it. Then over time, this list kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't know if I should keep doing this or not. And then one day it was like, I know, let's go through some of these and check their numbers and see if any of them are back in the system. None were back in the system. Then we got two or three. I was like, okay, they are going to go back eventually, maybe. And now here we are since we started doing this, and we've only had six return. And guess what? They do right when they go back. And we could easily sit down and go through all the numbers all across the country. That's easy to do. But I'm not going to waste my time and do that. But it is available. We do track it. And it wasn't like we were keeping track of numbers. There was a reason. I anticipated they would go back, and to make my life easy, I'd be able to know where they left off. We could go back a couple pages or a couple sets of notes, start them there, a little refresher, and then move on. Hasn't happened. We've also added a new question at the end of every course. One of our graders, and really just a guy that just does a great job for us and really loves the ministry, he's been a Dorito years a long time. Rick, been on doctrine, I don't know, maybe 40 years or more. He's in Michigan. And he said, you know, why don't you put a question at the end and ask them in their own words to tell us what they learned from that test, that study aid, just to see what they write. No right or wrong answer. What did you learn from this? So we're adding it to every test just to throw it in at the end. Please answer this question. Challenge them to use their brain. Challenge them to work. We're pretty hardcore, but we're also careful. You get people that can't write, can't read. It's amazing some of the stuff. You look at it and you go, wow, in this day and age, people can't read or write. Yes, that's true. They can't read or write. So you got to cut them some slack. Not often. I think I can count on one hand where I said, okay, I wrote him a letter and said, listen, you got to go back and read the book again. I see you're trying, but you got to read the book again. Get some help if you need it, because we don't want to run them off if they really are trying. I think there's been three or four, and that's all out of a lot of tests. So we're very careful, but we also try to work with them if we can. So this represents where we have a study going on. You may only have one inmate in that facility. Like that one in Arkansas, we had only one there, and then they transferred out. Now we got two or three going in different facilities. In Hawaii, we have a tape group going there, so you have 10 or 12. Then you go down here in Florida, in Coleman, there's three facilities in Coleman, Florida. There's a high, a penitentiary, there's a medium, there's a low. I think we have one in the high, one in the low, and two in the medium. So it's just where we have something represented. This is where we have MP3 groups. We do everything we can to feed that positive volition. We provide them whatever they need. If the chaplain says we can do it as a group, we can get assigned time and location, then we'll buy them a big MP3 player with speakers so they can sit there and study together. They can check it out from the chaplain. They cannot have this in their cells. So they check it out. If it's individually, we buy individual MP3 players, usually 3 to 5, and then a bunch of headsets. And by that I mean 10, 15, because there's health requirements. They got to be clean. They got to be the type that can be cleaned. So that's how we handle that. And those are our MP3 groups. These are just a couple more letters saying how great everything is and how happy they are. I still travel with Rick Hughes. Our next trip is like the 12th of October. We only have one in October, the Wounded Warrior event in November, and one in December, none in January. So it's a lighter schedule than it's been, and that's good for me because, as you can see, we got a lot to do. Joe Griffin Media Ministry still provides Bibles for inmates when they're ready, and we still get those who, for whatever reason, write us and say, I never got a Bible. And you look at the list, you say, oh, yes, you did. Or those that had them stolen and they need another one, and not going to happen. I think we've done, by the way, about 300 Bibles, Joe. I didn't have a chance to count them up. I have them. I can count those, and I'll try to get those. Yeah, I think it's been about 300. We still study and teach, and when the doors open, we go through. We don't advertise. We're not in the advertising business. I just told you about these. None of these said, thanks for writing to me or thanks for telling me about it. It just happens, that phone call. Had nothing to do with us. It's just God's amazing grace. We've had over 7,000 downloads of Joe Griffin Basics in the prison so far. That was earlier this year at the annual meeting, so I know it's more than that. It's pretty amazing, too. You just don't know who all's getting all this information. But I know this. It only takes one, and that's all I'm concerned with. When I go, is there one that maybe gets it? And then from there, we'll move on and get him everything he needs or her everything she needs. Before we move on, please keep praying for us. We have so much. It's amazing how God has blessed this ministry beyond anything I could have ever thought. And every day I think, well, tomorrow I'm going to have a lot more free time because I know there's somebody else out there that probably is doing it better or different than we are. But as we get into the study, I'm more and more convinced we have the answers. And that's why they don't come back. And we're going to learn about some religious vultures here in a little bit that really try to control these inmates, because they realize, they being all the denominations out there, that 95% of these inmates are going home. And for them, if they come back, it's just another way to control them with guilt. See, you should have been listening to me. You should have done it this way. I saw you steal that apple from the commissary. I know you worked there, but that's stealing, brother. And it's, we're going to see. So please keep praying for us, the stamina to continue to go every day. And that's not been a problem. I love getting up every day. This has been the most amazing time in my life and the most fun I think I've ever had. It's an honor to represent this church, Joe Griffin Media Ministries and Grace Doctrine Church, to tons of Doritos and people I come in contact with and tell them about Grace Doctrine Church, give them a book. Not only the inmates, I'm talking about families of inmates, people on airplanes, people just on the grocery store. You know, they see you and it's, you talk to them a little bit and they're, what are you doing here? Well, let me tell you, it's been amazing. Can you send me a book? A guy that I knew from the Navy, he's in Virginia, has leukemia. I'm going to have you put him on the prayer list. Called just yesterday, and I spent about an hour talking to him, and it was a great opportunity to say, man, you ought to start listening. I'll get you out something. His wife's Jewish. He's not. So, and she's had no interest. But now all of a sudden there's a spark. So we're going to feed that and see what happens. So that's kind of the presentation on the ministry. If you want to write us, if you want to do some tests, if you want to work on a book, something you want to do, give me a call. Write us a note. You can email us. You can send a letter, snail mail. That's how we get most of our mail. The post office, even though we're their best customer, hates us. They have a new postmaster at our post office, and she wanted me to buy a bigger box and do this and do that, and I get too much mail, and that's really been a problem. How she got her job, I'll never know. As you can see, our Lord has opened and continues to open many doors, and we'll continue to step through those doors. Remember, it has nothing to do with me. It's all God's amazing grace. I want you to know that I'm not fooled, and I know everyone's not positive. Some want to play church. They're not serious students of the Word of God. Just like everyone, it's not positive on the outside. I also know, just like on the outside, not everyone who is released sticks with Bible doctrine. They get home, they have a wife, they have a girlfriend, their mother. That's a lot of pressure on them, saying, won't you come with me to the Baptist church? And over time, they go there. That's okay. That's their business. I've done my duty. I fed them as long as I could. Now they've got to move on with their lives. I try to get them on doctrine, and they start on it. They leave. The important thing is they're not going back. So at some point, though, the rate of forgetting exceeds the rate of learning, and you wonder if those old wheel tracks will pop back up. In the closed environment of a prison or a jail, there are many religious materials. You have no idea. Bible studies are made available to inmates. And by the time an individual makes it through the legal system and arrives at their final destination, prison, many are searching, especially those nonviolent individuals who now enter into the harsh reality of what prison life is and what it will be for them. And bad decisions limit future option hits them right in the face. Just like you have vultures, other inmates, predators, really, waiting for the newbies, you also have all the religious organizations known to man. I call them religious vultures. They are recruiting, and they pounce from the day they get there. Some give a correct gospel. Most do not. What are they teaching? What is being taught? Hope to give you some insight the rest of tonight and tomorrow. In prison, there is every religion and denomination known to man. You say that's true on the outside. I would agree with that. But I would tell you on the inside of the prison walls, it's amplified. From the day you arrive and these religious vultures attack you, you have inmates also, spiritual king of the mountains. They know everything. And let me tell you what, they can win any sword drill. They have a lot of gnosis. They don't have any epignosis. They've done a whole lot of studying and reading, in their minds, they could quote and try to call you out. You just stare at them and go, okay, I don't think you'll be back tomorrow night. They're all given the gospel, pushing religions of all types, seeking to control you with legalism and guilt. You have those who are recruiting you to join Islam. That's a family in there. That's how they pitch it. There are religions in prisons who tell you that after you are saved, you no longer sin. You probably have heard of those that say it was a head belief and not a heart belief. I ran across a popular book in prison called The Original Blessing, Putting Sin in Its Rightful Place. The author, Danielle Shorier, hopes to send the doctrine of original sin to the slaughterhouse with her book. It's a book that says there is no original sin. And that's a big issue going on. Islam is telling inmates that they should use their free will to act in total submission to Allah. They also offer inmates the opportunity to be part of a family. And it appeals to many in prison, especially men of color. You have those that say you must bear fruit, prove you're a believer, or it's not true faith. You have those that say the men and women, you must be baptizing. And then there's confusion for the inmates, because are you sprinkled or are you doused? Which is it? Some tell inmates you got to make a public confession. You can even do the Emmaus walk or be anointed with oil. You have those that teach predestination, and are you part of the elect or not? The inmates start to wonder which one's correct. How do I sort this out? And many, because of all the conflicts, think Christians are just plain crazy. And then you have the legalists waiting for those who do join up, fess up, and give up to just watch them. They have their own clipboard committees, and they're waiting to see them smoke, chew some tobacco, steal something from the commissary, say a cuss word, and then they pounce. You must not have really believed. We need to start this process over. The gospel is so confusing, and religion gives them nothing to carry them past Sunday night services. They give nothing in the sermons that will help them change the way they think, and grace is an afterthought. It's like the false teachers in Jude 4, that they've crept in among us and we don't even know they're there. What I'm going to tell you, I know you already know. Joe has taught us so much doctrine over the years. What could I possibly tell you that you don't already know? I could do a topical study, and someday I will, just to show you I can do it if I get the opportunity again to do that. But I thought I would pull some points out of a study that I did recently at a prison where the confusion was running rampant. And the chaplain said, we got to get this under control. We're turning people off to Christianity, true Christianity, a relationship, not a religion. So the study I did was faith, failure, flaws, and forgiveness. And what I tried to do in the study was answer some of the inmate questions and concerns about what's being presented by others without attacking anything directly. Just giving them truth, aletheia, what our pastor just taught last week. I gave them truth and letting the Holy Spirit do its job. I know this is basic, but it's always good to have a refresher course, and maybe you will pick up something you can use. You need to get ready to write, because you're going to be writing tonight and tomorrow. I've got a lot of points, and I don't have my notes to give out to you. You can have them later, but I don't have them now. We're going to start with salvation. That's the faith part of it. Faith alone and Christ alone, the grace system. You got to remember my audience now, okay? Imagine for a moment you are seated in a courtroom. You're on trial for murder, a crime that carries the death penalty. The evidence against you has been delivered to the jury, and your attorney has presented your defense. Now you await the jury's verdict. A hush falls over the courtroom as the jury foreman steps forward. You rise to your feet and face the judge. You know a fact no one else in the courtroom knows for certain. You committed the crime. As the jury foreman announces a verdict of guilty, you are not surprised. The judge pounds the gavel and pronounces your sentence. You cannot escape the penalty, and your lawyer cannot protect you. You are helpless to save yourself. But as you are led away from the courtroom in handcuffs, a man steps forward. This man is a stranger to you. I will take your punishment. He says, I will be your substitute. The judge leans forward to question him. At last, satisfied by the man's qualifications, he accepts the stranger as your substitute. The handcuffs are removed from your wrist and put on his. While this man undeservedly goes to his death in your place, you are set free. You are allowed to live, even though you are guilty, because someone else has taken your punishment. We have all failed. Scripture tells us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And it also says there are none righteous, no, not one. God the Father sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be your substitute and free you from the death penalty. God's written word tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his uniquely born Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You are guilty, helpless to save yourself from this death penalty. There is no ability you possess or any work you can perform to redeem yourself. But God has provided an escape from eternal condemnation. The price of your freedom was paid by your substitute, Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross. And you can receive God's grace gift of eternal life by one simple act of faith. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Believing in Christ means you accept as true the fact that he died as your personal substitute. And the moment you believe, you are declared innocent and your death penalty is removed. God gives you eternal life and guarantees your salvation. Instantly, you are brought into an eternal relationship with God. It's that simple. And I can tell you, I hear all the time, that's too easy. You don't realize who you're dealing with. They're convicts. What's wrong with you? My response is always the same. It is simple. Faith alone in Christ alone. And it only takes the faith of a mustard seed, God's amazing grace. Most volunteers and pastors don't like the grace way. They want you to do something, walk down the aisle, make a public profession of faith, baptize, the list goes on and on. I'm chastised and not very popular because grace, and they believe that's way too easy. So let's take a look at Luke 23, 40 and 43 in the time we have left tonight. And we're going to see the first deathbed conversion. And he was a criminal being put to death. He deserved what he was getting. So in Luke 23, 40, it says, "But the other answered and rebuking him said, 'Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation?'" Verse 41, "And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And we know Pilate said, "I find no fault with him." And even over in Matthew 27, where he says, "Should I release him?" And they're saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." They don't even answer his question. What fault? What did he do? He'd done nothing. These criminals on the cross, they know they had deserved the punishment they were getting. And in verse 42, he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." There you have it, the first deathbed conversion. And then remember, he was just a thief, justly being put to death. I'm going to give you a few points. It'll carry us till the end. So hang on, here we go. One, the thief on the cross refutes the belief that you need something other than faith alone in Christ alone. There's no question. Two, he could not prove he had a true and saving faith. There was nothing more he could do. He's going to be dead in hours. Three, death is not the end, it's the beginning. Either eternal life or eternal condemnation. One or the other. No in between. And there's no chance after you've died. It's over. There's no opportunity to be saved at that point. For what one moment of faith in Christ brings us and what God promises us simply because of that one moment of faith concerning Jesus Christ, His person, and His work on the cross are 39 irrevocable assets. What are they? Eternal life, sonship, His righteousness, member of the royal family of God. What an amazing set of assets by simply believing in Jesus Christ and accepting Him as your Savior. It's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. And I was going to put some up there and all that, but just going to have to take my word for it. How effective is this salvation? So effective that a thief who lived his life in crime as a criminal who has nothing to offer anyone, he's hurt people all his life, he's stolen other people's money and lived off that money, he has nothing to offer, but he's given everything because of one simple moment. He believes in Jesus Christ, and that's the power of that one moment of faith right there. And this is the only time in Scripture where there is a deathbed conversion, right here. So it can happen. He wasn't a good person. He was a criminal. He was a thief. He was about to die, and he knows it. He no longer has the opportunity to be a good person or make amends for his evil or to make atonement for his actions or to show his worthiness by doing good works. There's no other opportunity. He will soon be dead with no time for change for him. He recognized the need for someone outside of himself. And here's a principle. Many a person has come to Christ in the worst times of their life. And I see it all the time. In these prisons, they are not a good place. I don't care what anybody says, the new rules they have. They are a nasty place. The people are animals. And when you can get an opportunity to see someone change their life like that young man in that letter, it's really encouraging. And it's real easy to say, let's go do this one more time. Let's get these notes out as fast as possible. Let's get these study courses out. We're feeding their souls, and that's all they have. Because if not, the religious vultures will be right on them saying, I got a better way. Come on over here. Follow me. I'll get you baptized. You can do the Emmaus walk, and we bring food in from the outside when we do that. You get to stay up all night in the gymnasium, eat home-cooked food. We don't offer any of that. All we have is truth, nothing else. This was a beautiful picture of grace in action, God saving us. We must remember we are all miserable and hopelessly lost in our human condition. We are born lost. We are all dead in Adam. Principle, every day is a risky day for an unbeliever. It could be their last one. And as an unbeliever, that's bad. Christ removes us from the state that's spending eternity in the lake of fire in one moment in time on the cross. The thief expressed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ before his own death, a deathbed conversion. The thief will be saved because his sins were paid for through Christ. That's what God the Father does. You could say the thief beat the rap. All the thief had to offer was faith in Jesus Christ. All he has is his faith request to reside in the kingdom with Jesus Christ. Remember Philippians 1:21, to live is Christ, to die is gain. And guess what? After that one moment, he had everything to gain and nothing to lose. The thief revealed the way to salvation, simple faith alone in Christ alone. And the ultimate from the mouth of Jesus Christ was his statement of eternal security. Today you will be with me in paradise. He didn't say, today you'll go to purgatory and we'll pray you in later on. Because I can tell you this, if you're counting on that, a week after you're gone, they're not going to be going and buying any candles and spending it on you and trying to pray you in there. It ain't going to happen. They're not even going to remember you in a month after you're gone. The prayers are stopped. You're stuck. Don't have to worry about that. He has no good deeds, no way to clean up his act, no time left to change his ways. and no time to repent from his evil ways. Christ's statement to this man is proof that bearing fruit is unnecessary. You don't have to prove your faith. All you have to do is express it. The criminal has been promised a future of great blessing. He did not earn or deserve what he's going to receive. And guess what? Neither do we. We don't earn any of it, and we don't deserve it. And let me tell you something. No one will be rejected from eternal life in a place of no more sorrow and no more tears and no more death if they express faith alone in Christ alone. It doesn't matter what they feel or what their circumstances are, what the timing of their expression of faith. It doesn't matter their fitness to be in a place with God himself or the timing, whether it's at the end of their life or the beginning of their life. Even if it's 1 second before you pass from this life, you express faith alone in Christ alone, you are saved, period. This is a picture of the grace of God. This criminal is going to be with Christ in paradise, period. We should be encouraged by this to use the royal law. Our pastor has taught us this doctrine over and over. These undesirables will be with us forever in heaven. And I know some that are believers that are really undesirable. But I better get over it. They may be mowing the back 40 with me. Hopefully I won't be naked. But they'll be in heaven. No other guarantee is needed. Christ paid the price. He has done all so that the condemned can be saved. And there is no greater picture of the ease of salvation than this criminal. And it removes forever the necessity for human works for salvation. And here's a principle I'd like for you to remember as we get ready to close. And I think this is key. Christ was not too busy bearing the sins of the whole world in a miserable state of dying and torture to witness to one man who was searching for salvation. What about you? Are you too busy to give the gospel to one who is searching? Are you ready to give the gospel? Are you ready to answer any man? Are you prepared? Christ sets a tremendous example for us to follow. And this is another great example of the ease of salvation. What lesson does the salvation of the thief on the cross show us? Clearly, works don't save us. Neither does baptism or anything else. Rick Hughes and I talk about this all the time. If you look at Romans 1, 15 and 16 and compare it to 1 Corinthians 1, 14 and 17, it says the power is in the gospel. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians, I baptized Stephanas or House of Crispus or, you know, if there's any others, I don't even know your name. Because God didn't send me to baptize. He sent me to give the gospel. He sent me to give the gospel. And then the power is in the gospel. It's not in all this other stuff. So tomorrow night, I've rushed through this tonight. I hope it made sense. Tomorrow night, we're going to attack the failure part and look at some biblical heroes who messed up. I used those to show the inmates, listen, dudes, you're not as important as these guys, and they failed. So after I cleared up the gospel, then I wanted to show them people failed, just like you did. And oh, by the way, God gave us a provision for that, and we're going to attack rebound. And we got some great points to go along with those also. That clears up any confusion that these people think that they get a license to sin, or that their arms are long enough to box with God because they can fool him. Nah. And that's simple also, and we're going to see it tomorrow night. So let's close in a word of prayer, okay? Father, thank you for the time you provided tonight and all the things you've done to bless Philippi Ministries and Grace Doctrine Church and Joe Griffin Media Ministries. We're grateful for this church and for all the Bible classes that Joe studies and teaches and sets the example for myself and everyone else. And now, Father, maybe something that was taught here tonight or information might have been given that might help someone be ready to give the gospel to someone else or an open door that you might provide. And, Father, we know your word doesn't come back void, so we just thank you for this opportunity, and we lift these prayers in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.